Welcome to the City on Hill podcast. So glad you're joining us today. I believe this message is going to enlarge your faith, increase your vision. God is going to do extraordinary things in you and through you. Work it into your life, share it with your friends, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
Title of my message this morning is, Am I Secure? Ask the person next to you, am I secure? You don't maybe want to hear what they have to say, but maybe you should ask yourself, am I secure? I meet so many amazing people with such amazing destinies upon their life, such an amazing future for them, such an amazing potential in them, such amazing promise on them, but because of their insecurity, they abdicate that privilege and they let go of that. I see amazing husbands that have amazing gifting on them and that has leadership on them, but because they're insecure, they either oppress their wives or they pull away, they become back-footed leaders in their homes. I see amazing parents, parents that have stunning kids, they're great parents, beautiful hearts, they know Jesus. But when I look at the way they parent their children, they're insecure in their parenting. And when you're an insecure parent, there's two things you do. Either your children become your parents and they become your bosses, or you become a master manipulator because you're insecure, so you've got to manipulate them to do what you want them to do. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people there in Johannesburg, man. Marie and I, in 2007, we went on this church planters journey. We went and visited 24 different churches. We traveled for about 5 weeks. We traveled the whole country. We went to Pretoria, Johannesburg, Rustenburg. We went to Natal, Durban. We went down the coast to Port Elizabeth, East London. We went to all sorts of different churches all over the country. And this is the one thing that I picked up. The secure leaders, the secure church leaders, they were leading amazing churches. The insecure church leaders were leading struggling churches. When someone asked me, what was your conclusion of that whole trip? I said this. Insecurity breeds insignificance, and security releases high significance. If you're a business leader here this morning, I want to say this to you. If you're insecure in your business leadership, it's going to produce insecure followers, which will produce a company that's struggling. If you're insecure in your walk with God, you're always going to try and perform, always going to try and impress, always going to doubt your value, always going to doubt how important you are. You're going to miss out on what God has got for you. That's a little bit longer, buddy. Sorry about that. You guys are standing so long. Can we give God thanks for Jurgens and Tim? Sorry, guys. Let's give it up. I'm going to use it at Ephesians 2:6. Is that okay? I'm going to climb up the ladders. Is that right? Thanks, guys. Please don't run away. Don't run away. But who of you remember Saul, King Saul? King Saul, the Bible says that he was a head taller than most. He had all the potential in him. He had everything in him. But you know, Saul was so reluctant, so insecure, so back-footed. You know why? Because he did not have a revelation of who he was in God. He didn't have a revelation that God had chosen him. He didn't have a revelation of what he was in God. He didn't have a revelation of who God was. And so when Saul has the opportunity to follow God, guess what happens? He thinks, what will the people say? What will the people think? And because he followed what people will say or what people will think, he missed out on the favor and the blessing and everything God had for him. I'm serious. David, on the other hand, gets an opportunity to make himself king. Now, an insecure person makes themselves king. Insecure people don't understand their identity. They don't understand their identity in Christ, so they feel like they've got to earn it. They've got to work for it. So if you don't understand that God worked for you on the cross, you're going to sweat for the rest of your life trying to impress people you don't like. Am I right? With money you don't have. To impress people who don't care. Am I right? Insecurity. So David is so secure that God has called him that when he has the chance to kill Saul, he says, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. Because if I have to make myself king, I have to keep myself as king. If God makes me king, he'll keep me as king. Can you give God praise for that? I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you, from the heart of God, I want to ask you, have you settled your security in Christ? Have you settled your security in Christ? On Christ, the solid rock, I will stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm not going to stand on my bank balance. I'm not going to stand on my education. I'm not going to stand on what people think of me. I'm not going to stand on my experience. I'm not going to stand on my family name. On Christ, the solid rock, I will stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Many years ago, I went on this amazing weekend called FFI. It was Ancient Paths, Family Foundations International with Craig Hill. And one of the most amazing things that stood out for me in this weekend was the story of a man that ended up being a failure in everything that he did. He was in his late 20s. My understanding, I'm remembering correctly. If I'm remembering a little bit of the details wrong, please forgive me. I just followed it up with Murdoch as well. Murdoch and Sheree run this amazing weekend. If you have not yet done an FFI weekend, book a spot for the 2nd of November. It's coming. But you know what's amazing is this guy, he was a failure in everything. He was struggling to get jobs. He couldn't get work. He couldn't get a wife. He couldn't get friends. He was struggling to have friends. He was struggling in almost every part of life. So he goes on this course. And while they pray at this course, Jesus starts revealing to him that something happened to him when he was 9 years old. When he was 9 years old, it was his ninth birthday. It was the most exciting day of his life. Because what was going to happen is he's never had friends stay over at his house. And so because he was in this course, Jesus revealed to him where the lie of the enemy came in. And when the lie of the enemy is canceled out, you can start living in victory and freedom. When you start understanding that you can be secure in God and you don't have to live in the fruit of other people's voices over you, you don't have to live in the fruit of other people's declarations over you, you can live in the fruit of who he says you are. Because I am who you say I am, Jesus. So this guy, at the age of 9, he's invited 3 friends to his house. And they were going to sleep over. It's the first time he's going to have friends sleeping over. And so this was the night where there was no curfew because it's his 9th birthday weekend. And so he had chips and cold drinks and all sorts of stuff. And they were drinking drinks. You know how kids are. I mean, if you're 9 years old, you don't. So he was putting the cold drink away, my man. Slept, went to bed late. Stayed up, connected with friends, playing with their friends. And he woke up the next morning and he realized he wet his bed. So obviously, trying to hide it from his friends, he took the bedding and he hid it in the washroom, thinking he'll talk this through with his parents later when his friends are gone. But at the breakfast table, his father came out of the washroom with the wet bedding in his hands and said to him, "What is this?" And before the son could say, the father said to him, he said, "I'm so disappointed in you," and started disciplining him in front of his 3 friends. And his father said to him, "You'll never amount to anything in your life. All you'll ever be is a bedwetting failure." Guess what he became? A failure. I've got amazing news for you. And when Jesus stepped in, come on, can we give God praise when Jesus steps in? I'm telling you, I honestly, friends, I want you to preach with me because this is good stuff. Is that okay? But when Jesus steps into your life, no matter what your dad says about you, no matter what your boss says about you, no matter what your teacher says about you, what he says about you changes everything in you. And so guess what happens? This young man goes from failure to security, because he can find his security in his God. Where his father should have been the father's voice, should have said, "How can I speak the voice of heaven into my son?" The father spoke the lies of the devil into him. I want to ask you, if people have spoken things over you today, it gets canceled. If you have moments of insecurity, it gets canceled today. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 is so powerful. You're going to read about it in your light groups this week. So if you're going to go to light group, get Ephesians chapter 2, study it. It's going to be so powerful. But it starts off with where we were. We were those failures. In all, quote unquote, we were the bedwetting failures. We were a mess without Jesus. Before him, there was no hope for us. We were disconnected from his life and his love. But you know what? Verse 4 says that, verse 1 to 3 says who we were before God. And then I love how verse 4 starts. It says, but God. Can you say but? But God. I was a mess, but God. I was a failure, but God. I was disconnected from the love, from eternal love, but God. But God. I want to say this morning, you know what? That word but is so powerful. That word but cancels out everything that was said before it. I can tell you, yes, man, you're such a beautiful person, but you know your makeup. I could have just as well not said anything. Because the but cancels it all out. The same with, you were so bad, you were so full of nonsense, you were so selfish, but God. Changes everything about you and me. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy. I love this about God. He's not poor in mercy. He's rich. He's rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace that you have been saved. Listen to me, friends. God made you a new creation. You are brand new. He made you alive. You were dead, but now you're alive. You were disconnected, but now you're connected. You were lost, but now you are found. You were cursed, but now you're blessed. You were sin, but now you're righteous. You are his beloved, his chosen one. Verse 6 says, now here we go, guys. Can we quickly hold that thing? Verse 6. Now I'm going to preach verse 6. Yes, guys, you must put this thing up. While they're getting it, friends, we had this amazing Destiny weekend. And then Cherie painted this. I put it on my Facebook. I want to tell you, friends, look at what the love of God does. The love of God lifts you up. Lifts you up, lifts you higher. Amen? The love of God. Friends, I want to encourage you, meditate on the truth. But God, because of his great mercy, because of his love, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, made us one with him, made us alive. Amen? Can I preach verse 6 from up here? Are you ready for me? Okay, look at like these guys are going to hold me. Hold me, Bobby, hold me, hold me. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on. Listen to this. What did God do? The Bible says in verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together. Look at that word together. Sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This morning you need to get something. There's a reason why I'm up here. If you forget anything this morning, remember this one thing. You are no longer earthly, you are heavenly. Friends, listen, this is powerful stuff. You're no longer earthly, you are heavenly. You're not born from beneath. We spoke about it last week. You are born from above. You know where you are seated right now? You're seated in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. I'm amazed at how many people see themselves incorrectly. And if you see yourself according to the way people see you, you're going to work hard to try and perform and try and get their approval. But if you understand who you are and where you are seated, all those little things at the bottom become so small. Most people think that they need to live from earth to heaven. I've got amazing news for you. You need to live from heaven to earth. When you walk into a business meeting tomorrow, you walk into school tomorrow, you're bringing heaven to earth. You are seated in Christ, in heavenly places. My position is no longer earthly. My position is heavenly. That's why, friends, that's why I don't get involved in little things. Even the devil. I speak to my God about the devil, because the devil doesn't deserve my time. I mean, he's not even on the, he's beneath. Am I right? We are above. We are in Christ. Friends, here's the other question I want to ask you. Where does Christ sit? At the right hand of God. Where are you sitting? In Christ. So who's at the right hand of the Father right now? Put your hand up. I'm at the right hand of the Father. Listen, friends, this changes the way you live, my man. Darren, that means that the way you and I live, we live from a place of authority. I'm at the right hand of the Father. I'm living from heaven to earth. I touch heaven and I change earth. Heaven is in me. Heaven is my reality. I speak words of heaven. I think thoughts of heaven. I am a heavenly man. I am a heavenly woman if you're a lady in this room. You need to say, God, I'm not beneath, but I'm above. I'm above the circumstances, not beneath the circumstances. I'm above the governmental issues, not beneath. Friends, I know there's land reforms and a whole lot of stuff happening, economy. It's reality. We're actually not ostriches with our heads in the sand. We are heavenly, seated in Christ. But friends, can we approach those issues not from an earthly perspective, but from a heavenly perspective? You know how big something looks when you're close to it? You know how small it gets when you're up here? In Revelation, John has this revelation of God, and he gets this invitation, come up here. Come up here, come up now, my beloved. Come up here, come up now, my beloved. I want to ask you, in your experience with God every day, could you come up here and be who you really are? Sit where you really are and move from that place. Let's give God praise. Amen. I wish I could stay up there, but otherwise it's going to get quite heavy. J.M. Bach says the following. She said this. I don't know him. I don't think this person said. Safety does not depend on our conception of the absence of danger. Safety is found in God's presence, in the center of his perfect will. Honestly, that is powerful. Your safety and security is not found in what your circumstances do or your perception of safety. It's actually found in the presence and the will of God. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2 says that in the ages to come, so he seated us in heavenly places. Why did he seat us in heavenly places? Why are we above and not beneath? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know why he put us in heavenly places? He wants us close. He wants us close so that he can show his exceeding love to us. He can show exactly this amazing kindness, the riches of his grace to us. If you still feel not good enough, don't worry. We all go through those days. I want to ask you to speak the truth. Listen to 2 weeks ago's message. Speak the truth of your life. Some people question, does God really want the best for me? Adam and Eve. Did God really say, hey, Adam and Eve, God is insecure? No, 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 no. God is very secure. And you are most secure when you and I find ourselves in him. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, as for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Can you say gift? Who of you have ever worked for a gift? They lie to you, then it's not a gift. You know that thing with your dad tells you, hey, work a bit hard and I'll give you this. Broer, jy het gewerk vir daai ding. It wasn't a gift. I said him, thanks, but I want to just remind you, it wasn't a gift. No, I'm just joking. But it's not a gift. If it's not for free, it's not a gift. Someone paid for it, but we don't have to. He gave us the free gift of salvation. Verse 10. See, we're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. We're not in heavenly places because we are great. We're in heavenly places to be great, to express greatness. Amen? It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Another translation would say, we are His masterpiece. Can you tell the person next to you? You're sitting next to a masterpiece. I mean, I'm serious, Mark. You're sitting there, you're looking at a masterpiece. You're looking at a masterpiece, Rob. Whether you like it or not, buddy. Hello? He says, God prepared these good works for us beforehand that we should walk in them. If you're secure in God, you know what? I'm so secure that I don't have to impress anyone. I'm sitting here this morning. None of you have to be impressed. If the Holy Spirit says do this, we do that. If He says do that, if you're not impressed, well, there's your problem. You have a problem. Romans 8:28. Listen to what secure people believe. Secure, secure. When you're secure in God, you're not on a little treadmill. Did I do good enough? Did I say it right? You know, insecure people always qualify. I say this and then I'm like, what? But I actually meant this. No, no, if you're secure, you just say it. And if they don't like it, then you'd like, hey, was my heart right? Yes, God, I was right before you. Well, if they don't receive it right, I've done the best before you, God. I want to keep on growing to become more like you, Jesus. I cannot think your thoughts for you. 8:28, Romans 8. For we know that in all things God works. Can you say all things? In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. See, if I'm insecure, I don't believe that scripture. I mean, I lose money. But God, in all things, you work all these things together for my good. Because I'm loved by you. Did you see there? Who have been called according to your purpose. I love you, and I've been called according to your purpose. I'm secure in that, God. You know that feeling when you didn't take your wallet with you? And your license is in your wallet. And then you come there and you see, hey, it's a roadblock. Bloop, 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 bloop. Roadblock. And you're like, you play the Macarena. And now it gets that sinking feeling of like, they're going to pull me off. They're pulling everyone off. Not only the taxis. They're pulling everyone off. And I go white. You know, for me, I go white. I don't know why. I go, like the blood drains out. I'm like, the cops are going to pull me off today. And I don't have my license. You know that feeling? I see people live like that every day of their lives. They always think they're in trouble. Many think they're in trouble with God. I'm here today to say to you, you cannot stay in trouble with God. You put your hope in Jesus Christ, guess what happens? He poured His wrath out on His Son. I mean, I'm preaching better than you clapping right now because that is powerful. Listen to this. You were guilty. And then He said, no, 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 no. I'm going to say to you, not guilty, and I'm going to say to my Son, you'll take His guilt. So when you come to your Father, you don't have to come like me. I can come like this. Isn't that awesome? And you know, when you know that you are secure in God, Colin, when you know that you are liberated in Him, the way you approach people changes. The way you go for that work interview changes. The way you deal with that client changes. The way you deal with your husband, ladies, changes. Hello? You know what the enemy will do? He's going to constantly question your identity. He's going to constantly question your security. He's going to say to you that you're not valuable enough, that you need to do something better, or you need to be something more in order to impress or to be improved. He's going to tell you that your destiny is not important, but God wants to come and change that in your mind. And when the enemy sows seeds of insecurity in your heart, seeds like this, when you need to prove yourself to someone, that's a lie of the enemy. If you feel like you need to qualify every statement, it's a lie of the enemy. If you're constantly looking for people to say, well done, it's a lie of the enemy. I remember after church on Sundays, I used to want to preach afterwards. And then I want to go there to the door and I want to hear, well done, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Voila, 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 Pastor. Oh, what a nice message, Pastor. Oh, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. You're laughing. It's better laugh at me. Don't laugh at yourself. Until one day, 2014, a friend of mine phones me up. He says to me, I've got a Mercedes-Benz that I want to give you. I said, my grandfather used to have these Mercedes-Benzes. I remember one of my fondest memories of my grandfather sitting on the back of a Mercedes-Benz where, remember those seats that they plot in the plot there? Those 1980-something Mercs that you just sit in the front. If you're a little boy, you want to sit on the top of that thing. It's a hand race, but the boys, I sat on top of it. This guy phones me while I'm busy running. He says, I've been praying for the last 4 months. I didn't want to give you this car. I love this car, but the car's got a name. The car's name is Unto Him. The car's name is Unto Jesus. That's the name of the car. The number plates on the car is Unto Him. He says to me, God says, I must give it to you. Because the Father wants to tell you that He loves you, because He loves you, because He loves you, because He loves you. No matter how well you preach or how badly you preach, He loves you. So I get that car. Man, I still have it today. I was going to sew it into the building, and then the guy that bought it from me gave it back to me. How about that? I got given that car twice. Have you ever been given one car twice? So I drive home one day after preaching, and you know, you preach your heart out, and I'm driving in Unto Him. That's the car's name. I'm driving in Unto Him. And as I'm driving, I put the sunroof open the windows, and the wind blows over me. And I feel the Father in heaven say, you don't need anyone to say you preached well. I want to tell you today, my boy, well done. I enjoyed your preaching. You don't need anyone to say to you, you're a great husband, a great father, a great friend. Yes, it's nice if people say it, but when your Father says it, it changes everything. Amen? David was so secure. John the Baptist says this. They ask him, hey, John, aren't you insecure? People are leaving you and they're following Jesus. John the Baptist said this. He said, man can receive, listen, nothing except it's given to him from above. Get a revelation this morning. Even financially, financial insecurity comes to all of us. Family, children, all this stuff. God, I can receive nothing unless you give it to me. Bring it on. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you about Psalm 23, and then we're going to land. This is the passage of security. Tony and I spoke about this last week. It's so powerful. David was so secure in his God. This is what made David so powerful. If you want to look at, listen, friends, every time David was insecure, he lost. Even when his son came, Absalom came to take the kingdom away from him, David ran because he knew if this is what God's given him, no one can take it away from him. No one can take away from us what God gives to us. No one. He says in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. Who shall I fear? Amen. Psalm 23. Can I read Psalm 23? Do you want to read it with me? The Lord is. Can you say is? Not the Lord will be. The Lord is. He is my shepherd. It's every day. I shall not want. When you secure, the Lord's your provider. He said, verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know what I love about the Father? He makes us rest. Secure people rest in the finished work of the cross. Secure people lie down in the abundance of heaven. Jesus, thank you that you make me lie down. Listen to this. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness. for his name's sake. If your soul gets weary, he wants to restore your soul. If you don't need know where to go, what to do, what to buy, what to wear, where to go, he leads you. For his name's sake. Listen to this. Yay. I love how the New King James says it. Yay. Sometimes you need to start the valley of the shadow of death with yay. Check there. Yay. I like that. Most people start with no. No. No, no, no. Yay. If I'm secure, I'm like, yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will fear no evil. Why, God, why don't I fear? Why don't I fear? Because people that are insecure have fears. Their hearts go like this. They're going to arrest me. They're going to not like me. They're going to reject me. I'm not going to have enough money. But when I'm secure, I go through the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't fear. Jesus, why don't I fear? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is always with me. I want to say this, friends, just because you're secure in God doesn't mean that you're not going to face valleys of the shadow of death. But he'll be with you. He'll never leave you. I'll never forget, I thought I was going to lose my life in the Philippine Islands. I was going to go and preach on an island where they capture people. I told you this story. Remember, they capture Westerners. And everything in me was like, I was scared. I was like, what, SMSing my wife, please pray for me. But I didn't tell her what to pray for. But they just captured a Canadian. And they held him up for ransom, and the Muslims killed him. The last time I preached there, there was a guy with a rifle standing outside the building while I'm preaching. He's checking if someone comes, he's got a gun. I was escorted with an armed gun the last time. Now I'm flying there. I'm thinking, I'm going to die. These people are going to. The enemy lies to you, my man. And I lied to me. We lie to ourselves. So you know what song I put on my, this is powerful. I'm going to give you the answer now, how to grow in your security. I put this song in my ears. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen to this. And then I go, I'm crying in the airplane because I'm flying to my death now. Oh, no. He never let go. He never let go of me. I'm serious. I'm crying. The Filipinos checking me out. I'm the only Westerner there. They're checking. The song's crying in the plane. Oh, you never let go of me. God will never let go of you. Amen. Listen to this. Listen, friends. When you're secure, the enemies come, but you feast in the presence of your enemies. When you're secure, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, he doesn't only let you feast in the presence of your enemies, he also anoints you in the presence of your enemies. I've never heard anyone preach on this. I've only heard people preach about the feasting. It's good, feast, but there's also anointing. There's also power. There's also breakthrough. There's also the presence of the Holy Spirit in the presence of your enemies. When you're sitting in that meeting and things aren't going your way, God, you anoint my head with oil. Listen to this. My cup overflows. Holy Spirit, you're doing now what I can't do with my voice. If you're trusting God for an overflow, just put your hand up. Just trusting God for an overflow. Oh, no, never let go. Never let go. Oh, no, never let go. My cup overflows. Cup overflows in your presence, Lord. Listen to this, friends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. That's security. Goodness and mercy follows me. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Whenever you feel insecure, run into the name of the Lord. Run into who Jesus is. Run into his nature. Run into who he is. Climb the ladder and remind yourself where you're seated. Four things and then we're going to land. I'm going to ask the band to come to the front. Now you might say, but Mark, it's easy for you to say this to me. It's easy to say, I need to be secure. Four things that will help you to grow in being secure. Four things while the band comes up. The first thing, build your life on the rock. Build your life on the rock. You know, Matthew 7 says, there's two builders. One built his house on the sand. The other one built his house on the rock. Does he say this? He says, okay, the one that builds his house on the rock doesn't get a storm, but the one that builds his house on the sand, shame, he gets a storm. What does he say? He said, both of them face a storm. Am I right? All of us will face storms, guaranteed. But when you build your house on the rock, the way you build your house on the rock is you hear God's word and you put it into practice. You hear God's word every day and you put it into practice. When the word of God says forgive, you forgive. When the word of God says be generous and put me first with your finances, you do that. When the word of God says love unconditionally, you love. When the word of God says pray, you pray. When the word of God says something, you do it. That's how you build your life on the rock. Amen? Second thing is, pray. Woo! Ons praat van bid, but ons bid nie. We talk about prayer, but we don't pray. I've got a friend, he's got a room built in his house. It's the prayer room. How about that? Actually, I've got another friend as well. Bedkamer. The whole room is the prayer room. You know, there's a lot of nannies. But if you not want to pray, you're going to struggle to be secure. Because it's in times of prayer that power is released. It's in times of prayer. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things are added. What happens? When I seek him, the stuff comes. When I seek him, the stuff follows me. Daniel prayed for 21 days. You know, Daniel was such a powerful prayer. He prayed for 21 days till the breakthrough came. Daniel, listen, friends, Daniel had every reason to be insecure because there was a law passed that if you're not going to worship, if you worship any other god, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. What does Daniel do? As he's always done, the Bible says, he goes up into his room three times a day and he gives thanks in prayer. He gets thrown into the lion's den. He's secure. Whether they eat me or not, I'm going to pray. I know who my God is. Third thing, second last. Third thing, walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Secure people, walk by faith. Focus on the unseen. Don't focus on the seen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we look not to the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't look at what is seen. We don't look at what the government says. We look at what our God says, because I'm going to be secure in my God, because no one else can give me security. No circumstance can give me security. The financial matters in our country can't bring me security. I'm looking to what is unseen. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your straight your paths. Last thing. This is powerful. Be a worshiper. Come on. We're going to respond right now. I know time's done. But listen to this. Worshippers are secure people. You need to be a worshiper. The Bible says, David writes in Psalms 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. Then he says this. He says, I will sing. Can you say sing? I will sing a new song. I will sing, he says. I will sing a new song. Uncle Corny comes to me in the worship. He says, God's been putting 2 Chronicles chapter 20 on his heart. Jehoshaphat, they were facing three different kings. They had every reason to be insecure. And then the Bible says that God said, don't go and fight them. Just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Listen to this. go and sing. The Bible says, ask Uncle Corny, it's in your Bible, 2 Chronicles 20, it says, when they began to sing. I don't think you got the revelation. Not sing whenever you want to, when they began to sing. The breakthrough comes when you begin to sing. We're going to take a moment and we're going to respond. We're going to worship our God. We're going to say, Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you that we are seated in heavenly places. We want to sing. R.C. Sproul said, let's stand together. I want to read this over you. R.C. Sproul said the following. We are secure, not because we hold tightly to Jesus, but because He holds tightly to us. Woo! I'm secure, not because I hold tightly to Jesus, but because He holds tightly to me. Just open your hands. Just say, Jesus, hold me. Let's worship.